Okay, here we are again with Unfinished Music, and this is Greg Verga along with Rick Moore at Beachbrook Studios in my unfinished basement here in West Gloucester. And we're joined today by Charlie Bianchini. And Charlie, thank you for coming in.
Thanks for having me, guys.
So we're going to go right into a song. What's the name of the song we're going to do?
This is Unwanted Anchor.
All right, let's hear it. Okay, let's get your sound good and unmute your guitar this time. All right, it's all you.
There's a current in these tides, it comes in and rips us wide, pulls us out into a sea of emotion. The wind is high, the sails are full, I try not to feel your pull. There's no future here, but who needs devotion? Why can't I throw you like you throw me? Unwanted anchor, oh why am I hanging on? Yesterday we avoided eyes, I watched your back as you grabbed at the lines. No horizon means nothing yet to return to. But today I catch your gaze in mine, a denial of diminishing time. I look away so your eyes cannot burn through. Why can't I throw you like you throw me? Unwanted anchor, oh why am I hanging on? So throw me aft and make your way back to your past, a distant day, and I, like always, won't breathe a word. Why can't I throw you? Excellent, excellent.
You know, we were talking just before we came on air about swearing FCC rules, Charlie. Is it Charlie or Charlie?
It's Charlie.
Charlie,
yeah.
All right, thank you. I'm trying to tweet out a picture of you and the program and so on, and the damn, what do you call it, autocorrect?
Yeah.
It keeps misspelling your last name. I'm getting it right. It's come all these weird things, and I'm going crazy. So I said the magic word, but it was off air. Thank goodness.
All right. So why don't you tell us a bit about that song?
Sure. That song was one of the first songs that I wrote that I actually wanted to play for people. It sort of dabbled in songwriting when I was in high school and stuff. And then when I started performing out, that was the first one that I actually wanted to play. Anywho, it's about the schooner Alabama, which is a Gloucester tall ship. It lives in Martha's Vineyard as a Black Dog tall ship. And I had the privilege of knowing a few of the crew members and took a trip down to Provincetown with them from Gloucester after our schooner festival, which is actually going to happen this weekend. And that song came out of that trip. So.
Wonderful. Well, before we go on to questions, I have to comment on your guitar. It's a beautiful guild.
Thank you. Yeah. I love her. She was a joint effort between me and my parents.
Yeah, yeah.
Many Christmases and birthdays saved up for her.
No, so that's as you can see on my wall, I'm a Rickenbacker person. But was that sort of one that was on your list that you just waited for? And
not really. I spent a good couple of years looking for the perfect guitar. Yeah. I have a Hohner back home, and she's pretty beat up and cheap guitar that we found in Cambridge one day, and I needed something that was a little bit of a step up, and this is a big step up. But when I found this one, I was like, this is the one.
Yeah, it's beauty.
Yeah.
So you mentioned you got into songwriting when you were in high school. So why don't you tell us a bit about your early musical beginnings? You know, take up guitar first, piano, or just singing around the house, a combination?
A combination. I remember as a little girl just singing everywhere. In fact, I think my mom, this is embarrassing, but my mom would call me the La La girl because I would just go around the house singing my head off. So, and then I remember in kindergarten, a classmate of mine left class and came back after having played or having taken a guitar lesson. And I said, whoa, you can learn instruments here? That's cool. And so I went home and I said, Mom, I want to learn how to play guitar, at the ripe age of 5. And it was music to her ears, no pun intended, because she loves music and had taught herself guitar when she was into college. And so she got me guitar lessons and got me a guitar, and I started playing. Studied classical guitar most of my grade school, middle school, and high school years. In high school, I studied with Anthony Weller, who's a Gloucester guitarist, jazz and classical. He's awesome. He lives in Annisquam. And he opened my eyes up to a lot of South American guitar music. But I've always wanted to play and sing. That has always driven me. And so throughout my whole life, I was always writing songs as a little kid. I have these really funny little ditties that I wrote when I was a kid. I have no idea what the tunes were, but the lyrics are still there. And in high school, my mom used to bring me up to Sam W, the Summer Acoustic Music Week that 91.9 Folk Radio puts on up in New Hampshire. And so we did that for a few years. And it's basically just a whole week of classes that you can take and performances, and people stay up all hours of the night just jamming and writing together. So it's cool. I did that with her a few years.
Is that like a summer camp for kids type
it's
thing?
It's not just for kids. It's adults. It's actually mainly adults. One of the odd high schoolers there.
I'm sorry, Rick. So how long have you been performing? I believe you have an interesting story about your first performance, how you got on stage.
Kind of, yeah. So I have been performing professionally only for the past 6 years. I've been performing my whole life, though, in school and stuff. But I was teaching in China, and when I came home, my friend Jamie was living in Ecuador at the time, and she said, come down to Ecuador and hang out for a little while. And I said, okay, I'm fresh out of college and after a year of teaching abroad, and I don't know what I'm doing, so I'm going to go down to Ecuador. And when I was there, some friends found out that I played guitar and I sang, and they had me play at their friend's cafe in Ecuador. I think actually Jamie might have worked for the people who own the cafe, and So that was my first like kind of paid gig. They gave me a free breakfast. but it was really great, and it was really nice to just feel like I could entertain the public and have people interested. And then I came home and was still totally lost, didn't know really what I was doing, trying a few things out. And my friend Marina Evans invited me up on stage with her. She had been gigging around. And so the two of us took a night at Dog Bar, and we actually got paid in cash that night. And I said, whoa, you can actually do this. So that's when I kind of started to perform more heavily.
Excellent. Well, yeah. Why don't you play another tune for us? And we've got a sure. ton of other more questions for you.
Sure thing.
So what's the title of this song?
This one is called Can't Be Without You. It was written when I was a graduate student up in Vermont. And I should have been studying, but instead I was pining after some long-lost lover, and this one came out. This heart, it stays wandering back to you. There's no way I can be unless these waters part. And I start taking heed of what's really true. Darling, I can't be without you. This long road I've traveled has come to an end. Won't you let me be your fool? I know that you're gone. You found someone new, and I gave up on you long ago. Thank you.
Excellent, excellent. So when we have guests in here, I like to ask, basically so I can steal all the ideas, what is your songwriting process?
It's funny. It's
pain, for one thing, it sounds like. Pain, right?
Yeah, it makes you go to deep, dark spots sometimes. And it can be super fun on others. I think usually I'll have sort of an idea for a lyric or an idea for a subject that I want to do, and I'll usually do a whole bunch of free writes on that subject, and then I'll start playing around on the guitar and find a chord progression that I like and pick one of those subjects that I've been brainstorming about and see if it works with the chord progression. But it's different every time. Sometimes the chord progression comes first.
When you're creating, do you use a device, electronics, a computer? You play a record, and listen to yourself and all. How does that process work?
Yeah, usually it's a yellow legal pad, and usually it's late at night, like 3 o'clock in the morning. And it's, but also my phone and my little notes section of my phone, because the good lyrics don't usually come to me. When I'm sitting down trying to work them out, they usually come to me, you know, on the subway or taking a walk in the woods.
I've written a lot of great songs in my sleep, and they're gone in the morning.
Yeah, so. Falling asleep is a great time to write songs, but they disappear quickly.
You know, I have to ask both of you, as a math person, I have worked on problems. Don't get them. Worked 20 hours on a problem, 22 hours once, didn't get it, was out running, couldn't get it. Fell asleep one night after weeks of trying to figure this thing out. Woke up at 3 a.m. And it wasn't a dream. I woke up at 3 a.m., did the dope slap on my head, and said, damn, was that easy? I've got it. Went back to sleep, and I had it in the morning because the subconscious was working it out. Has that ever happened to you guys in writing or creating?
I'm still waiting for it to happen. I'll let you know.
Yeah, it happens to me all the time. And actually, even with learning music, I'm a music teacher too, and I tell my students that all the time. Don't get frustrated. If you're practicing something and your fingers can't get there, just take a break, go get a glass of water, spend an hour doing something else, and I guarantee by the time you get back to your guitar, it'll be there. 'Cause yes, the subconscious works it out. The muscle memory works it out.
Right. Well, and the thing you say about if the fingers can't do it, I guess the thing is to get the idea out. I do a lot of recording of my own stuff, and I play the drums, and I'm not a drummer, but the concept is that someday I'm going to get a real drummer to come in and do the drum track, but just to get the idea out, what you're feeling.
Absolutely.
So it's a great segue, because you'd mentioned you're a teacher as well. Mm-hmm. So why don't you tell us about that secret identity?
Sure. It's not very secret. I have been teaching most of my life, whether it's, you know, helping out when I was in grade school with the younger classes, more recently teaching writing classes at the Gloucester Writer Center. And for the past probably 5 years, 5 or 6 years, I've been teaching music lessons. Started off just sort of as a random thing. A friend of mine asked me to teach their daughter, and I really enjoyed it, and realized that it could be a supplement to my music career, or whatever else I was trying to decide on at that time. So I started teaching a little bit more heavily, and then I went back to my elementary school, Brookwood School, and asked them if they needed any teachers, and so started teaching there as an independent guitar teacher. And then last year, a whole bunch of stuff happened, and I found myself teaching at the Music Asylum in Essex, which is an awesome new studio in terms of its location, but the person who's been running it, Jack Tomiolo, has been teaching for 10 years and has a student base there. So now he's expanding into this great space that's a very cool, hip music spot, and I get to help out with that. So,
well, we do have people in here to plug stuff, so, you know, phone number, web, whatever you want to do to plug it, go ahead.
Yeah, so it's themusicasylum.net is our website. You can call 978-491-7652 if you want lessons, or you can contact me through my website, charliebeth.com. But it's a great spot because we're trying to not only make it a place to take music lessons, we're also trying to make it a place for musicians of all ages to have sort of a haven and a place to network. And if they need help with audition material, they can get that there. If they need help with some performance techniques, they can get that there. And we want to make sure that our students and the parents of our students understand that it's possible to make a living as a musician. You have to be creative, but not everyone can be the next Taylor Swift, but with a little bit of that creativity, it's very reasonable and it's very lucrative to be a musician as well. There's this big misconception that, we're all starving artists, but...
Right, right. I think you're right. People have the conception that either you're going to become Paul McCartney and be 75 years old and still fill in arenas, or you hung it up at 27 and that's the end of it.
Right.
But you can still, look around Gloucester now. There's plenty of people keeping pretty busy.
Absolutely,
as musicians.
Gloucester's a special place for that, too.
Now, you were involved in a songwriter's workshop, too?
I teach songwriting workshops, yeah. So this past summer, we had an awesome week we only had about 5 students sign up. Probably our fault that we didn't get our advertising out soon enough. But we had 5 incredible students who wrote 5 incredible songs that week, and it was inspiring for all of us. So we're hoping to do that more often, both for our younger students as well as our older adult students.
So what's the goal of the... So you write the song, you spend the week doing it, then you perform it solo, or you have other people join in with you, you record it? What's the...
Both, yeah. The purpose of the week is for them to sort of learn the process of songwriting and learn some techniques and exercises to use to help them become better songwriters.
Trying to get Greg's attention here, but it's
I added this fan so I could see, but I
know.
Sorry.
I know. On the bio that Greg sent that we have on the website, it says, Charlie works to teach a holistic view of what it is to be a musician and how music is and can be a beautiful voice in empowering people to find and use their voice.
Mm-hmm.
Explain that to me.
So, yeah. So I got my master's in peace building and conflict transformation. And my heart has been sort of divided between music and that profession. However, I've also come to realize that they're very much able to coincide. And I do a lot of work with youth, and youth leadership and peace building and empowerment. And I've seen what music can do to help them find their voice and help people become more empowered. I've watched students go from just coming into lessons crying because they had a bad day at school or they had issues with their friends or they're not getting a particular guitar part, whatever the frustration, they come in and, give me a year with them and they are performing with poise and energy. So, yeah, I can see how it can be a beautiful tool in that.
Can I ask you, is that approach, is it necessary for a student to aspire to be a performer? Or, like the empowerment thing, some people play just for the sheer enjoyment of playing and wanting to learn on one's own?
I think that you can just play to play. I have students, every time I get a new student, I have a piece of paper, and I ask them a few questions as to what their approach to learning is. And one of the questions that I ask is, where do you see yourself in 10, 15, 20 years as a musician? Are you singing in your shower? Are you playing around a campfire? Are you playing at small bars and local restaurants? Are you playing at, coffee houses? Or do you want to be in the big arena? And I get the full range. I get the absolute full range. Some students want to be around the campfire, and others
awesome.
Want the big arena. So,
well, for now, we'll settle for my basement. Do you have another tune you want to give
Sure
us?
Thing. Yeah, this one is called Thrown to the Wind. This is my song for Gloucester. I wrote it amidst a lot of, Gloucester decisions being made as far as where we want to see the city go. in terms of keeping its local history as well as inviting more people to Gloucester. And so this was my reaction to that.
I think I was part of that whole thing of the decision making.
I vaguely remember that, yeah. Greg.
All right. You're on.
Okay. Peter walks the streets with books in hand. Poets lost words and forgotten romance. He stops in the footsteps of their words. Hears the cry and call of sullen seabirds. Peter watches the past crumble down. Old buildings bulldozed to the ground. He watches the sails pull out to sea. Thinks this has been for centuries. And he says out loud, this can't be. Thrown to the wind. Peter flips the pages in search of a song. Try to prove he's not the one that's wrong. He takes a morning stroll down by the beach. Hears the mermaids singing, each to each. Peter's people keep him occupied. Though he has a hard time feeling tired. He watches the brushes spreading paint. Wonders how long this will remain. And he says out loud, this can't be. Thrown to the wind.
Awesome, awesome.
Thanks.
Can you sing that at the schooner race there thing there on Sunday?
Sure.
Oh, that's awesome. And what inspired you to do that? Was there a particular time, a particular event? What got that thing rolling?
I think it was the hotel being built that
Interesting.
Inspired because, that song.
Okay, because, yeah. My wife has, she grew up on the fort. Relatives okay. there, and that is a very what's the word I'm looking for? They're very possessive about that in that yeah. particular part of town, for sure.
Yeah,
blending the new and the old, but it seems to be working. So
it does. Yeah. I lived on the fort. My dad owns a house there, and after I graduated college, I lived there and came to love it through college, and actually wrote my thesis on the Birdseye Building.
Oh, wow.
I was an American Studies major, and I was. studying sense of place.
Off the subject, have you been to the Cape Ann Museum and seen the Fitzhenry Lane paintings?
Absolutely.
Of the fort? Aren't they amazing?
Yeah, they're gorgeous. Yeah, we're lucky to have those here.
Well, my father was originally from the fort, too. I guess I just put that plug in there. So, well, one thing, when we had John Jerome in here, Rick had asked him about, he does a lot of percussive sounds with his guitar. Mm-hmm. And I noticed a lot in that.
Yeah.
And when you're playing solo, I guess you try to create your own percussion. I mean, so why don't you tell us a bit about your style, and maybe I've seen a few clips of you on YouTube with other musicians, but do you use your preference playing, acoustic alone, or would you like to be in a full band? What's your...
I definitely prefer being in a band.
Really?
Yeah, I've been playing in a duo mostly for the past few years. Earlier on in my performing career, I had a band, but we broke up for many reasons. And then I started doing duo stuff, and I love playing with other musicians. Mm-hmm. It's just there's something so fulfilling about that communication that you have, that wordless communication that you have with your other musicians, and the sounds that come out of everybody. It's just different every time, even when you're playing the same
song. And there's a give and take, too, isn't there?
Where
absolutely. It's sort of like in sports where one guy makes another guy play better.
Yeah, yeah.
And you have that synchronicity.
Absolutely.
Or synergy, I guess, yeah.
Yeah. So I live for those magical moments with other musicians. So, yes, ultimately I would like to start playing with a band. And we're working on that.
But it's going to be heavy metal rock, right?
Yeah. Yes, it is. Yeah, punk Excellent. Rock, for sure.
All right.
Well, that leads me to my next question. I mean, would it be more electric? Like, what would be your vision of, like, an example of somebody who, you know, wouldn't be Indigo Girls, be more something a little heavier?
Yeah, it would definitely be a little bit more poppy, a little bit more... heavy, I think. I definitely, it's hard for me to write, I'm finding right now, because it is just me and my guitar, mm-hmm. and the sound that comes out is mainly folk,
right.
But I don't necessarily envision or hear the songs in my head as folk. And it depends on the song, really. I think I'm still in that exploration process of what I want my sound to be.
Have you ever taken a song and if you have a group of people you work with and they say, okay, we like it, but this is what we're going to do to it, that kind of thing?
Kind of, yeah. I'm in the process of doing a little bit of that right now.
Oh, cool.
This past spring and winter at the studio, we've been trying to put together, we've got a drummer in and we were playing with some
awesome.
Different sounds and different grooves and just trying to explore and totally transformed one of the songs that I'll be playing.
I recently listened to Sounds of Silence when the Simon and Garfunkel did it originally acoustic.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can contrast that with the band and the rock and the guitar and everything, and it's a completely different song.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, cool.
Right.
Well, and if you look at what the Byrds did to all the Dylan songs that were just him acoustic with the harmonica. Oh, not that the Byrds were actually, you know, Black Sabbath, but... you know, they were able to.
Well, how about
change.
Hendrix and Watchtower? That way,
there's another example.
But I understand that, and you can be. I would think and Greg, maybe you can answer this. When you're on stage with other people, and I hope I'm asking the right question. Do you have a sense of, even though you're locked into a song, you got more freedom, don't you? You know what I'm trying to say? Because you can play a little, you can ad lib. I don't know.
Yeah.
Do a little bit more, maybe.
Well,
you
or do a little bit less.
Or a little bit less.
Yeah.
Or screw up and not have it noticed as much.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
that's if it's just you and your acoustic guitar, everybody knows who messed up.
Yes.
But if you're with the band, you can sort of fake it. But excellent. Do you have a
you guys need to take a break?
Yeah, we're through the halfway point. So why don't we do some pay some bills and then let us take a little breather here.
Okay, we'll be right back. You're listening to MSO News Sports. And of course this is Greg Verga's Unfinished Music with Charlie Bianchini?
Yeah.
Bianchini. All right. We'll be right back.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. One of the ways to judge a company is in its staying power. At Moynihan Lumber, we've been doing our thing now for 55 years. Serving all of Greater Boston, Moynihan Lumber offers lumber and building materials, doors and windows, decking, kitchen cabinets, and Ace Hardware. Visit Moynihan Lumber at any of our three locations, in North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at moynihanlumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Fact is,
including the commute, people spend 10 hours a day at work. No wonder they're forced to buy car insurance in 15 minutes. They just don't have time to go meet with someone. Well, Columbia Insurance has an alternative. The insurance professionals at Columbia Insurance Agency will meet with you at your workplace. Even better, we'll go to the registry and bring your plates back to you at work, free of charge. At Columbia Insurance Agency, we come to you, and we really do. Visit ColumbiaInsuranceAgency.net and set up an appointment today. That's ColumbiaInsuranceAgency.net.
Hi, this is Jeff Klickstein, General Manager at Moore GMC in Danvers. Did you know that we're a family-owned and operated dealer that's been serving the North Shore since 1969? When you come to see us, you're treated like part of our family. GMC has a great lineup with Sierra pickups, the ever-popular Acadia, and the redesigned 2016 Terrain. Our service department ranks as one of the best in customer satisfaction because we respect our customers' busy schedule, and we do repairs as quickly as possible with the least amount of inconvenience to you. There is clearly a difference, not only in selecting the right vehicle for your needs, but selecting the right dealership to buy it from. We are the dealer that will provide you with the best buying experience possible. We are conveniently located off Route 128 at Exit 23, 80 High Street in Danvers. I personally invite all of you to come in, come visit us, see why our customers keep coming back for all their automotive needs.
Gloria Food Store is still Beverly's number one deli, and no matter what New England weather is thrown at us, Gloria is open. With fresh bread delivered from Sunray Bakery every morning, Gloria can provide party platters, calzones, hot trays, cold trays, salad trays, and finger sandwiches for whatever you have planned. Call in your order at 978-922-3613, stop in at 268 Rantoul Street, or visit GloriaFoodStore.com.
People come in, take a seat, you're really in for a treat at Silverman Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Silverman Street. Treat you right, day or night, satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Silverman Street Grill.
The Sylvan Street Grill has a great new Game Time menu featuring delicious new dishes, specials, and all-time favorites, too.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
The Bradford Tavern, the Rowley Destination Restaurant, featuring many modern touches, nestled in a rustic setting, offering the finest steaks, seafood, and many quality daily specials. The Bradford Tavern is open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. to midnight, serving lunch and dinner. See you soon at the Bradford Tavern in Rowley, 89 Haverhill Street, Route 133. And check us out at bradfordtavern.com.
Okay, we're back. Thank you for sticking around as we paid some bills and got to do a little stretch break. So we're back with Charlie Bianchini. So, again, Charlie, thank you for coming down here. And why don't you tell us what you have up next around town or beyond for performance or projects?
Okay, let me see. We're playing on September 24th three times that day.
Wow.
We're going to be at the Waldorf School. They're having a back-to-school open house. Not sure exactly what time. We're still trying to work out the details on that. Then we're playing, there's an Essex Festival from 2 to 3 that day. And then in the evening, we'll be at the Lanesville Music Festival. Still trying to work out the times on that one, too. And then I'll be at a wedding on September 17th. And other than that, I don't have much on the books. I haven't been performing out as much because we're trying to work on recording and writing and that kind of thing.
All right. So where are you doing the recording?
At the Music Asylum. Right now, it's just sketches. Mm-hmm. You know, just little sketches on my computer. To get an idea of what we want. And then once we do that, we'll go into a professional recording studio.
And then take it on the road?
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Hopefully, yeah.
So why don't you tell us who else is in the group?
Well, as of right now, it's just me and Jack.
Okay.
But we're hoping to add a few more. And as we continue with these ideas, we'll start adding more people.
All right. Sounds good. Yeah. So what have you got up next for us?
Up next is my song, Where There's Love. That's what it's called.
All right. Take it away.
Thank you. I cry every time I knock at your door. This ain't right, but maybe I don't care anymore, 'cause I love you. And where there's love, it's always good. Oh, sometimes I don't say the right thing, and we fight. Show how much our words can sting, but I still love you. I still love you. And where there's love, it's always good. Some say I'm young and only beginning. But I've seen some places only the devil knows. What I'm saying is the love is genuine. Whichever way you go, and I cry every time you knock at my door, 'cause this ain't right, and I don't wanna pretend anymore, 'cause I love you. It's always good. Where there's love, it's always good.
Very nice. So, well, let me ask, I'm going to ask about the origins of the song. But I just want to talk about your influence, because it certainly had a country feel to it.
Yeah.
So who are some of the artists that you, you know, are the influences in your style and your playing and everything else?
Well, I think in that song, I was listening to a lot of Patsy Cline, and I was listening to a lot of Etta James.
Wow. Okay.
And interested in sort of the connection between those R&B blues songs and the country songs. And so I think that's where that one sort of came from. As far as my influences, I grew up listening to Joni Mitchell and Bob Dylan. My mom was a big folky. Joan Baez, Cheryl Wheeler. But, you know, growing up, got into harder stuff. Jeff Buckley is one of my favorite musicians. Loved Nirvana when I was in high school. Loved Jimi Hendrix. I don't know. I feel like my influences are sort of all over the place. And especially as a teacher, I have to learn a lot of songs. And so I come to appreciate a lot of different styles of music. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's I've found that what we talked about before we went on the air is, you know, playing in Moonraker, which is people who are your age, or maybe a little older, and I've got 15 to 18 years on these people, and so there's a lot of stuff in our set list that I would not have listened to otherwise. So,
yeah.
But you know, you get to appreciate the skill that goes into creating some of the songs anyway.
Yeah.
Others, I think, are just flick a drum machine on and hit a sequencer and you're all set. So who are some of the newer artists? Because we were talking about that during the break, you know, mm-hmm. the auto-tune and the style that everybody seems to be copying these days in terms of vocals. But, you know, what are some of the newer people that you like? I know there's some, every once in a while a band comes out that's sort of like got the traditional feel to it.
Yeah. I really love Hozier. I think he's the big pop musician who I've been into a lot. His latest album is just extraordinary. Everybody knows him by Take Me to Church, which has been played millions of times on the radio. And I could, you know, take or leave that song now. I'm tired of it because we've heard it so much. But the rest of the album is really extraordinary. And he's been able to marry beautiful guitar work with beautiful poetry and turn it into pop music, which hasn't been done in a while, in my opinion. So he's up there. I love Tallest Man on Earth. He's one of my favorites. I just discovered Sun Little at the Newport Folk Festival this year. I've been enjoying his new album. But it changes really on a daily basis for me.
Yeah. So where do you listen? Do you listen online? You listen on the radio?
I listen to Rhapsody. It's kind of like Spotify, okay. Same sort of thing.
When you were learning voice or teaching voice or still developing voice,
mm-hmm. It's constant.
I'm sure.
Constant process.
Yeah. And the thing about voice as a fan that fascinates me is the way I'm a rock fan and I'm a folk rock. Country, not so much, but that was beautiful. Okay. I'm amazed at musicians who can scream and also sing.
At the same time, yeah.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? They can do a screaming song, an arena song or an anthem, but then they can dial it back and sing some kind of a melody. And how does that work? Doesn't the screaming, you have to have a special talent for that or special tools or what?
No, you don't have to have a special talent. It's just practice and training your voice.
Wow.
The voice is a muscle. They're all muscles in there. And mm-hmm. so just like, you know, going to the gym, you have to work out your muscles on a regular basis. And of course, we each have our own limitations. But in my opinion, everyone can learn to sing, even if you're tone deaf, because there's ear training that you can do to really learn. But yeah, there are different exercises that I teach. Have you ever heard a child cry?
Never heard them.
No.
So,
without parents.
So they scream, right? And you'd think that after a while, you'd hope that after a while they would stop screaming or that they'd, you know, tire out their voice. But no, they just unfortunately sometimes keep on screaming. Mm-hmm. They go into a space with their muscles where they're able to sustain that. And we're still able to do that as adults. We just
I didn't
don't.
Know that.
Yeah. So there are exercises that you can do to...
Like Steven Tyler, it's like when he's screaming, but then he can sing. Or Robert Plant, he's screaming all day. And it's... So you can do that. You can actually learn how to do that.
You can learn how to do that, yeah.
I'll be dipped.
I haven't quite learned how to do that yet without it hurting.
You don't
but.
Need to. You should do that.
I don't know if that would quite fit the style of the few songs we've heard so far. But the band you're working on, who knows?
You mm-hmm.
put some distortion on that, you'd be all set.
Little Joplin,
I'd love to be able to sing
Little Joplin, little Gracie Slick, maybe?
Yeah. Wow. So we have... Ooh, we've got about another 20 minutes here. If so, if
you got about 10 here, son.
Yeah, 10. I got like
oh, sorry, 10. Sorry, I forgot how to read a clock. Mm. So you want to give us another tune, and then we'll do a wrap?
Sure. Let me do... I can't decide if I want to do my most recent or a fun, upbeat one. What do you say?
I'm going to... whatever you want to promote, but... And I just lost my train of thought. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
How about something fun and upbeat?
Forget about it.
Cool. This one's called You've Got to Go. It was written one afternoon on my porch after I got really sick and tired of dealing with sad love songs, I decided to write a sort of sly one. Okay, so this is called You've Got to Go. It's okay to stay, even if you say tomorrow you'll go. I should scold you, 'cause I'm the one you've been so cold to. But just like that, the feeling you rose. 'Cause I can't help but like the fight, and I can't help but walk this road. To go. Seasons change, and it's both strange, but I'm still waiting for your call. You're still distant, deranged and inconsistent.
Another beauty.
Thanks.
All right. Thank you so much, Charlie, for coming in. So
thanks for having me.
Give another plug for your website, and because of the spelling of your name, spell it out.
Sure. My website is charliebeth.com, and the way you spell Charlie is C-H-A-R-L-E-E. So it's C-H-A-R-L-E-E-B-E-T-H.com.
All right. So, and you can catch Charlie at three opportunities on September 24th.
Yes.
So, be on the lookout. So, again, thanks for coming in, and we appreciate it so much. You're taking time out of your day to be here.
Thanks for having me.
So, let's just go over some housekeeping. It's a busy weekend. As Charlie mentioned, it's the it's Labor Day weekend. It's the Parade of Lights. It's all of the usual Schooner Fest festivities. But a few items I just want to point out. Tonight at the Cape Ann Cinema and Stage on Main Street is the premiere of For the Love of Spock. It's a documentary about Leonard Nimoy and the 50th anniversary of Star Trek, and it's by his son Adam Nimoy, who I had the pleasure of having coffee with this morning. And that's tonight at 7:30 at the Gloucester Cinema and Stage. Tomorrow, Friday, September 2nd, at Captain Carlos, you can catch Moonraker. I hear they have a really good bass player. We're starting at 9 p.m. And then Saturday, the Enjoy Gloucester Foundation is having a harbor cruise for the Parade of Lights fireworks. At 6:30, we board. You can get info at info@enjoygloucester.comcast.net. And the John Jerome Band is going to be playing at that event. And John's we're big fans of his here. So keep in mind, we have some upcoming guests here. We have Steve Carraway September 14th. September 28th, we had a cancellation. So if you are talented and you'd like to come in, give me a call. On the 12th of October, we have Jeff Small and John Jerome and possibly a couple other guys. And then on October 26th, we have Chelsea Berry coming in. So we're looking forward to all of those guests. And I just wanted to say a big thanks to our sponsor, Extreme Auto, from 14 Condolin Road, 978-281-0339. So this live broadcast will be available on demand at msonewsports.com on Facebook. So be sure to check us out and check us, newsports.com on the interweb, and go to Facebook to check us out. Thanks.